So we're going to learn how to toss tables today. It's kind of an important thing to learn how to do, actually. And so if you wanted the meek and gentle Lamb of Jesus, we find out today he knows how to toss a table and cast a whip. But there's certainly a good reason for this, and we need to understand what it really means to toss a table and why. Some of this might sound like I'm an anarchist, and I promise I am not. The first reading from Exodus gives us the Ten Commandments. During that time, there were other codes of conduct in other civilizations and cultures, and they listed pretty much the commandments 4 through 10. You know, honor father and mother, don't kill, don't lie, don't bear false witness, don't covet, don't commit adultery. These are all things that seem like natural law, that when a group of people live together long enough, that they learn that there are certain things that are proper and acceptable and things that aren't. And so those things get codified around values. The difference is, in giving the Decalogue, the entrance of the first three commandments, which have to do with God. So this tossed a table to a group of people who were used to trying to figure out what it was like to work with each other, live with each other, and conduct themselves in a way that created peacefulness. It tossed the table because they realized for the first time, or maybe had inklings, but now it came from the prophet's mouth to say, in the middle of you being honorable with your neighbor, your brothers and sisters, you are also being honorable to the God who is with you and amongst you. This is another way of saying that as we live honorably with our brothers and sisters, we are living honorably with God. This connection between how we treat our neighbors and how we relate to God is forever brought together. It tossed a table so that our actions are not just to our brothers and sisters, our actions are also to God. This is important for us to realize that it is in how we treat one another that we become aware, more aware, of the presence of God that is always around us. That gives us a different understanding of how we are relating to one another. It is an extension of our relationship with God to treat our brothers and sisters with kindness. And it is an extension of our relationship with our brothers and sisters that we are loving God in those actions. This is part of who we are as a people. It is sermon reflection or sermon circle on Wednesdays, 9:30. It's a lot of fun. Come on by. There's coffee and great conversation. But one of our folks there mentioned about a social contract, and we all have those contracts. It's an understanding of how things kind of go in our society and how we like to have things that seem proper or the right way to do things. And one of the challenges is that when people come from different cultures or different backgrounds, that sometimes their standard of conduct, their social contract, is a little bit different than ours. So there can be some conflict there, or at least misunderstanding, for a little while. Another thing that happens with these social contracts is that over time, like a hull of a ship, they get barnacles. They get things that are crusted onto them. People get glommed on, things and ideas. And so I'll give you an example. This one's kind of easy. Here's an example of a social contract that kind of works most of the time. When I say thank you, the social custom is that you say, you're welcome. Now, that one works most of the time. We would hope that works most of the time. Here's another social one that has kind of become a formula instead of an actual relationship. And that is when you pass somebody on the street and you say, oh, hi, how are you? And they say, yeah, fine, even though their favorite pet just died. It's a formula, right? And it's a little bracing when somebody sits down and says, how are you? I mean, I really want to know, how are you? And we're like, you do? That's an example of a social contract that's got a couple of barnacles on it. It started off really good, but has kind of ended up formulaic so that it doesn't express the relationship. See how that goes? So what we have to do sometimes is look at how we're acting, look at some of our social contracts with each other, and see what is really there and what's important and what isn't. What's a barnacle? So here comes Jesus. And Jesus, you know, is going to toss the table here. What he's doing is calling into question social contracts, how things typically are done. So you can see here is the temple, and folks had to offer some sort of offering to God, and they bought doves, and they had to pay for doves, you know, in shekels, not in Roman coins, and so you needed dove sellers, and you needed money changers. Now let's step back from that and think that originally this was an idea that probably had something to do with convenience, because people didn't want to bring their turtle doves from walking to the temple, right? And then when they got to the temple, maybe they didn't have the proper kind of money to buy something in the temple, so they needed a money changer. You see how this is going? It started off as maybe a good idea, but over time, you know, you got the mall of turtle doves and money changers in the back end of the temple. And there was more stuff happening back in there than there was in the temple. So what, even a good idea, though I'm a Franciscan, so I'm not ever going to think that selling things in the back of church is a good idea. I can tell you a time that I tossed a table in my first parish, but maybe we don't have time. So Jesus comes in, and is it significant that he tossed tables? I don't think it's as significant as why he tossed the tables, and that's what we have to listen to. Here are the words that give us an idea of Jesus's motivation. Why are you doing this? Of course, he said this a lot louder and a lot more fiery, which I could work myself into, but maybe not at the moment. Why are you doing this in my Father's house? Those are the words that we should listen to. He is telling us something about how he approached what was happening in the temple. He didn't say, what are you doing in my place of worship? He didn't say, what are you doing in the traditional place of our gathering? He didn't say, what are you doing in a place full of the equivalent of stained glass windows and nice music and, on occasion, vestments? He said, what are you doing in my Father's house? This tossed the tables for people to look and step back and say, why are we here? Why have we gathered? What is this all about? It isn't about turtle doves, and it isn't about using shekels or not shekels. It is about being in our Father's house. being in our mother's house, being in the Creator's house, who relates to us as children. That's what's going on. That's why the table temples had to be turned over, because people had lost the sense of why they were in the temple. And Jesus tossed another table to let them know that God relates to us as a loving parent, caring for us, loving us, wanting our lives to blossom and be transformed through love, that we are brought to fullness and wonderfulness in the presence of God's love. This is why Jesus tossed the tables, not to create anarchy, not to do things to make a political statement, but for us to understand that we enter into the presence of God in the temple. And it is a God who loves us. Now, that table was worth tossing. And what does that mean for us today? Because we've had 2,000 years on this ship we call the church, and there are barnacles. It happens. It's not bad, it's just the way it is. Sometimes we have to take beloved institutions and see, are we doing what they started off being? We don't come to church We gather together as brothers and sisters to give God back thanks and love for the love and the goodness that is in our everyday lives. That's why we're here. It has sometimes wonderful things, and things that help us offer back to God our worship and our praise and our thanksgiving. There's beautiful music, and there are windows, and there are brothers and sisters, and there are moments of wisdom or foolishness, depending. We come together to be in love with God and with one another. That's why we're here. We also have to take by extension that our life as a lover of God is throughout all of our days, all of our minutes. And so there are other places where we might need to toss a few tables. We have to always ask ourselves, as people who follow Jesus, is there another way that we could be more loving? Is another way that I can help my brother and sister experience the love and the mercy and the magnificence of God? And that should be the lens that I use to look at the actions of my lives. So when we are discussing homelessness, we should ask ourselves through the lens of Jesus, how am I extending my love to my brothers and sisters? Yes, we have to have meetings and try to figure it out on all sorts of different levels. I'm not against any of that. But the bottom line is we're doing this because these are our brothers and sisters. When I am kind to somebody at the grocery store, when I extend myself in patience when I'm driving through the street, when I try to figure out how many different ways pedestrians can step in front of my car I have to know that all these little things and big are ways in which I act like I believe these are my brothers and sisters, that we are all God's children. Jesus tossed tables so that we would always know that there is never a point that we can say, we figured that one out. We don't have to worry about that anymore. We've loved God enough. We've loved our neighbor enough. That day should never come. Those words should never be on our lips, because there's never a day that we can ever say we've loved God enough or we've loved our neighbor enough. There's never a day that we can say we've so figured this out that the new person that comes to us can't teach us something about loving. There's never a day that we have it so figured out that there isn't at least the temptation to toss a table to find out if there's another way of loving. I am not trying to propose anarchy. I am trying to propose that you and I, in every way possible, do what Jesus has asked us to do. The last way to guide this, now what? Well, here's how Jesus summed it up. Ready? These words are going to sound terribly familiar, and they are words that are how we toss tables, how we live our lives. Ready? Love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, with all your strength, the very essence and fiber of who you are. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. In that is all the law and all the prophets. In our Father's house, in our mother's full creation, we are the children of God, brothers and sisters. Let us love one another. Let us love.